They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in him, in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. The word of God for God's people on this beautiful day. This chapter, and in particular verses 4 through 6, clearly express the why behind the death of Christ. As we begin to look at these verses, we must see how many times Isaiah uses our and we and us. Our griefs, it says. Our sorrows. We accounted him. Our transgressions. Our iniquities. His punishment made us whole. With his wounds, we are healed. We have gone astray. We have turned. The iniquity of us all. Nothing in this passage then makes sense until you feel the full weight of this truth. Jesus died for us. What he did for us. What he suffered for us. The pain and the brutality and dignity of the cross, it was all for us. And Jesus, the historical, the living, the real Jesus, was betrayed. He was tried. He was mocked. He was slapped. He was humiliated. He was crowned with thorns, convicted in a kangaroo court, falsely accused. He was beaten until his skin was shredded, forced to carry his own cross, and then publicly crucified, the most brutal form of execution of his day. Some may say that Jesus shouldn't have died, that it was all a big mistake, that the powers of darkness finally triumphed over light and over good. Jesus was murdered. But that is not the end of the story, and it is not the full story. Far from it. Yo, praise be to God for that. Do I hear an amen? That is not the end of the story, of the full story. What we read in the Bible, especially in the gospel, good news of Christ, is that Jesus laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. Jesus did not die because he could not help it. He did not suffer because he could not escape. Pilate's soldiers and his army could not have taken him if he had not been willing to die and to be taken. They could not have hurt a hair on his head if he had not given them permission. And so that brings us to the real message of Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. And as I read this over and over and over and over again, my heart was warmed. And your heart, I'm inviting you to open your heart to be warmed by this passage and by this truth of our lifetime forever and ever, that Jesus died on purpose. It was not by accident. So he died on purpose so that sinners like you and me could be saved. You and I are the we in this passage. We are the us that Christ died. And so I'm inviting us to hear these words on a very personal level, because the more personal you get with this passage that it is for you and for me, the more his suffering will mean for us, the more what Jesus did out of love will just grab you and change you and make you whole. When Isaiah speaks of what Christ has done for us, he does not start with our sin or our guilt, although that's why he died. Instead, he calls and he starts with our infirmities. It says, surely he has borne our griefs, our infirmities, and carried our sorrows. yet we counted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. That word, born, is a Hebrew word that means that Jesus carried and lifted up our load. Have you ever been so weary and so burdened, and you go to a place where somebody listens to you and lifts that load up, and you walk away feeling light and airy? Well, that's what that says. Surely he has borne our griefs and our infirmities. He has lifted our painful ways of being. In a little bit, we're going to sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Right? We're going to sing that. Some of you know that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Yes, say amen if you know that song. If you've sung that song, and you will sing it in a little bit, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It says, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Why do we carry everything to this Jesus in prayer? Because we understand that he bore our griefs and our infirmities. He's lifted that up, and so that when you go to that moment of prayer and you deposit everything that you're carrying with you, you feel that light that's been taken from you. He takes our soul sickness and makes us whole. We have many griefs in our lifetime because we live in a fallen world. We have many sorrows because we ourselves are fallen people. We need someone who can carry our griefs for us when the burden is too heavy for us to carry. He took up our diseases, it says, our infirmities, and carried our sorrow. This means everything, the divisions in our family. And how many families don't have divisions? Right? Are you with me? It means the loss of a job. And how many of us have not gone through that, and the pain of that is? Whether you did it on your own or somebody did it for you. It's the loss of a loved one, of a spouse or your wife, your loved one. It's that loss that hurts. It hurts in the body when you've lost somebody that you love. It means the pain of our past, no matter what our past carried, no matter what it was, it means that Jesus bore and took that pain upon himself so that you can be freed from living your life with that pain. Praise be to God. In Christ, we do not have some far off God, like Bette Midler said in one of her songs, from a distance. God is watching you from a distance. Oh, no, 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 no. That is not the Christ that we preach and we teach. He is very close and personal. In Christ, we find a God who drew near to us, the Emmanuel. God is with us, who came to us, who entered our world, who became one of us, that he might carry our sorrows. He became one of us so that he may carry our infirmities. He became one of us because he knew pain, and he knows our pain, and he carried it, and he bore it and took it from us if we are willing to give it to Jesus. He became one of us. Therefore, our pain, my pain, your pain will not have the last word. Amen? Pain will not have the last word. Amen? My pain, your pain will not have the last word. Our sorrows will not last forever. No other God has wounds. Our God, through Christ, has wounds. What else can you find a Savior like this? A Savior who took our pain, who takes our pain, who continues to take our pain. That is, if you are willing to give it to Jesus. He took our punishment. Verse 5 says, but he was pierced, wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And with his bruises, and now we're talking about literal bruises, we are healed. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. His wounds, his body cut, his skin flayed. Our Lord died a terrible pain. And I was telling Bible study this morning that even those that are not out of the faith, people, historians, who have gone back to study the real Christ, Was there a real Jesus historically? Was there a real Jesus that was born and was crucified? And even people outside of the faith, never mind the writers of our Christian book, have testified that yes, there was a Jesus, that yes, he was crucified, and that he endured probably 14 hours of sheer torture. Why? 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 He was arrested in the middle of the night, slapped, pushed around, mocked, slapped again, crowned with thorns that went into his scalp, scarred with a large strap, studded with bits of bones and stone on it. His beard ripped. I could hardly say the words. Beaten again and again. And if you can't imagine this, just look at any one of the movies that have been done that depict the brutality of what Jesus went through. Forced to carry his own cross, nails driven through his hands and feet, crucified. His sufferings in those last few hours are unspeakable. That is the absolute passion of the Christ. You know how people talk about passion? Oh, I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about that. Hire me because I'm passionate about this and the other. Well, nobody knew passion. That's what we call it, the passion of the Christ. Unless you give your life up for someone else. Now, that's passion. That's endurance. That's soul. When he dies, he appears to be yet another forgotten footnote in history, and there are those who still say, that didn't happen, fairy tales. I won't believe in that. And some still claim that he was a failure because he died. Was Jesus a failure? But his death is not the end of the story, amen? His death is not the end of the story. Jesus did not fail in what he came to do. He perfectly fulfilled the Father's will. And look what we have gotten in return. We have peace with God. Peace with God. The word peace, shalom. We have the possibility of being whole. In a messed up world, did you know you lived in a messed up world? Oh, should I call it breaking news, like CNN? Everything is breaking news nowadays, but that's another sermon for another day, right? In a messed up world filled with broken people and broken promises, through Christ we have peace that surpasses all understanding. Shalom. Wholeness. Oh, so beautiful. Peace with God is possible. We are healed. Ah, I love that word. Won't you say the word healed? Healed. I love that word. Those of you who have gone through any pain and suffering and experienced healing, I love that word. We are healed from our guilt, healed from our hatred, healed from our doubt, healed from our shame. Through Christ, broken people are put back together again. We are no Humpty Dumpties. You know that song? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. See, that will preach. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, but Christ can. We are no Humpty Dumpties. See, use that for Easter. I'm no Humpty Dumpty. Use it. We are put back together again. We may fall to pieces at times, but we don't fall apart. Praise be to God. I have oftentimes fallen to pieces, but I don't fall apart because Christ died on the cross for me. The cross and his death does it all. My Savior lives. My Savior lives is one of those songs I hear on the radio. How many of you have heard it? My Savior lives. My Savior lives. And it's so true. My Savior was no failure. Jesus took our place. He is our suffering substitute. He took our sin, bore our pain, and through his death on the cross, he healed us from the inside out so that we may now live in peace. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Note, in that verse 6 that I learned as a young child long ago. It starts with the word all, and it ends with the word all. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It starts with the all. We have all turned our own way. We're all in the same boat. And at one point, we were all going to die, except that God did something for us. God could have looked at the mess that we all have created and said, they deserve it. They messed up. Let them face the consequences. And God probably would have been 100% justified in saying, let them die. We said, leave me alone. I'm okay. I'm good. But God said, no. Don't trust on your goodness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's then the great suffering of the Lord, who came from heaven on a divine rescue mission, took our sins, which God laid on him, the only one who could be blameless, gave himself in sacrifice. That's why we call him the Lamb of God. Lamb of God. That's the doctrine of substitution. That's our basic tenet of our faith. That is what makes us Christian. That's the heart of the gospel. Jesus took my place on the cross. John 15:13 says it this way, greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. That Bruno Mars is the ultimate grenade taker. You with me? As beautiful, Connor, isn't it? It really is. This salvation story of Jesus, the ultimate laying down his life for us. So we believe in the Christian faith that if we want to go to heaven, we have to pay attention to Isaiah 53:6. Remember that it begins and ends with the word all. The way of salvation starts with the first all. All we like sheep have gone astray. And it ends with the last all. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all. Romans reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus has paid the price in full. This is our basic Christian faith that all Christian churches ought to preach. So that you can go to heaven. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad you've been or how bad your record might be. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. If you know that you are a sinner, you can be saved. We have a suffering, victorious substitute who paid the price. So how do we receive God's gift of salvation? It's a very simple equation. Ask for it. Open your heart. Simply ask God. Simply ask Christ to come into your heart. Ask him. Don't say, I'll do my best. I'm just going to do my best. I'm going to will through it. And I'll listen to this message of Christ later. Let me suggest to all of us that that's an evil trick of the mind. You cannot be saved as long as you hold on to your notions of goodness. You want to be saved, accept fully that Jesus died on the cross as your substitute. As a matter of fact, I'm inviting you to run to the cross and to hold on to Jesus Christ, who loved and died for you. I wonder, do you believe this? Do you believe it until it hurts? The more I study, the more I read, the more I go to Christ, the more I am so convinced in my soul and in my spirit that it was me who should have been crucified, but he paid the price for me. Praise be to God. Oh, you should feel it in your spirit. If you have any stirring in your heart, any sense of your need, any desire to be saved by grace, that desire has been placed in your heart by God. Now the rest is up to you. Run to the cross. Don't walk and don't delay. Run to the cross where Jesus waits to meet you, to save you, to take up all of that you've been carrying. How does it happen, Pastor Maida? I don't know how it happens. I just know it does. Savior, make you whole.
In a little bit, we're going to be singing,
I Lay My Sins on Jesus.
Thank you, Steve and Debbie, for choosing that.
I invite you to open your heart fully to Christ's pardon and allow him to lift your sins. You don't have to carry that. To lift your burdens, you don't have to carry them. Your infirmities, you don't have to carry it. Your griefs and your pain, some of us are just holding on. Oh, I'm holding on, and Christ says, come and give it to me. I already paid the price for you. I invite you to let Jesus love you, heal you, make you whole. Won't you pray with me at this time? I invite you, if you've never made a public statement of faith saying, yes, this is the Savior, this is my Jesus, we're going to have communion in a little bit. And what that means is that you believe fully in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but you've never made it open and declared, Jesus, you are my suffering substitute. You take away my sins, my burdens, my pains, and today I just want to give it over to you. I don't want to hold on to this anymore. I give it over to you. You pay the price. You suffered on the cross. You did it all for me. If you're making a decision unto Christ, I invite you. Everybody else is praying. Just lift your hand up. I will continue to pray for you. Say, Lord, I accept you. I accept you with all my heart, with all my mind. You are my Lord. I accept you, Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. Praise be to God. Everybody else is praying. If you already know the Lord, just pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this. This is the basic tenet of our Christian faith, that Christ laid his life on the cross, a substitute for all of us. If you're still pondering, I invite you to pray. Lord, what would this mean for me? What will this mean for me? Don't be afraid. Walk in faith. Lord, I thank you for this, your people, those that you've called and those who are still seeking. Lord, I pray that you will knock on people's hearts and that they will open the door so that you may come in. I thank you for this word we have received today. And I thank you personally for paying the price for me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite us to sing that song as printed in our bulletins. I lay my sins on Jesus.